So one sugya that I wanted to do today, but I think we won't do it because we've already talked about it in Shin Chaf Ches, but just to higher is the general topic of Shvus B'Makom Tzar as a klal. And we talked about the Grash Shita on that. That really is based off of the sugya of Tzedah. But let's start not with that global point, but just a more local point. In terms of siftes and killing a parush. So the Gemara Kav Zayin Amud Beis says that hatzadas parush, so Rabbi Yehoshua Omer pater avalaser. So it's aser. Tosfos says something very interesting, though, that even though you're right, it's aser to normally trap a parush, but if it's about to sting you, mutar li kachenu lashlicho me'alav, Demishim Tsar Shari. So you could sort of pick it up. Now, when you pick it up, I guess there's a mux issue. There's also a tzed issue. When it's in your hands, you're trapping it, even if it's only for a moment, because you're going to throw it away. But Lamaisa, you've done an Isser Dirabban and you've done Seda, and it's mutter to prevent Tsar. And also Toto Muksa. So it seems that we're willing to be Matir Tseda B'makom Tsar. The Rush also brings this idea, and he brings a raya. It's quoted by the Beis Yosef from the fact that it's mutter litos akotz brishos harabim. Even though again, there is an issur derabbanan over there. It's mutter. Now it's interesting because over there it says eka derabbim, and the Rush is willing to extrapolate from the kotz brishos harabim to our case, where it's just my own personal pain of getting a bite. So if you take a look actually at the Ha'ara Chavav in the, at least the Machon Yerushalayim tour, they addressed this issue. It would seem that either the Rush held that you only need Rabim to be Matir Tiltul B'Karmelis, though Mechatesi to then learn partially to Tzeda, or the Rush holds like the other answer of the Gemara over there. It seems though the Rush doesn't really require Hezekah de Rabim per se. And this might relate to the general point of Ushfus B'Makom Tsar, which we discussed earlier. This relates to Moshe's question from the previous year. Now, what's very interesting about this halacha that's paskened in the Shulchan Aruch is that there's not too much pain from getting bitten from a parush. I don't know exactly what a parush is. It's some type of flea, a biting flea. There's a machlokas Rishonim and cited in Siftes about whether the difference between a kina and a parush, and how could you tell which one is which. But one thing is clear, you know, we're talking about a very, I would say, mild bite. And seemingly then what we see from here is that when we're willing to be mati or shvus b'makom tsar, you don't need that much tsar. Now, if you take a look at the Gras, if Katan Yotasi writes that Davka Oktso, like Mapis Morsa, where it's Davka, you know, you're removing the immediate pain. It's not entirely clear to me what he means, but what it sounds like he means to say is basically Lafuke the Taz. The Taz is Matir, even if it's not yet biting you, but it's, you know, you're concerned it's going to bite you. It's rachok mibsaro. It's not, well, I shouldn't say rachok. It's not that far. It's samach lebisaro. The Taz says it's mutter. In other words, it's not yet in a place where it can bite you, but it's on its way. Looks like it's impending pain. So the Taz is matir. You don't need more oktso. And it would seem that the gra is learning from Mapis Morsa, which is the source of this idea, that there's already a matziv of immediate pain. It's not impending pain, but it's already there. The parush is about to bite you. Or in the case of Mapis Morsa, the boil is already there, and that's the case where we're matir shvus. So it would seem then that we have a machlokes achronim, and this is actually likely a machlokes rishonim, as the Shaar Tzion points out. The Magen Avraham is specific about this, as is the Mishnah Brura, but the Taz seems to be makel on that it's mutter to the shvus to prevent impending pain, and at least the Gra seems to be machmir, it's only where the pain's already here that it's going to be mutter. According to the Magen Avraham, question as well, Tzif Katan Yudches, he asks, why is it that Kotz Bershus HaRabim, where we're mako to prevent impending pain, right? In other words, it's not yet there. It's a future concern. If you hold that it's only by the parush, it's only when it's mamish biting you or in about to bite you that it's mutter. So why is Kotz different? Now, it's interesting. The Magen Avraham didn't answer, well, Rishus HaRabim is different. Instead, he answers that over here by the parush, it's just tsar ba'alma. It's not a big deal. Whereas the Kotz, it's a bigger concern. So when we're just dealing with tsar ba'alma, so again, the Magen Avraham is mesupik, the Mishnah Brura is mesupik, the Taz is mako, Gra is machmir. Not so clear, though it sounds a little bit for the Mishnah Brura that there might be room to be mako. And again, the Rishonim discussed this as cited in the Beis Yosef.
Question?
The Beis Yosef, yeah.
Is this only physical tsar? Let's say, for example, and this is my sashoy actually, if a housewife is very perturbed by existence of a mouse, so that's psychological.
We'll talk about my...
You trap on Shabbos to catch the mouse.
Oh, that's Yoni's question, a.k.a. Ellie's. We'll return to that in just a moment. There might be a better reason why that's going to be mutter, but even that's not clear. We'll get there. It's a good question what you're asking. It's not obvious. I don't know the answer. Though again, we'll talk about another tzad possibly to be mako for the mousetrap. But in terms of this general principle of being matir shvus b'makom tzar, you could argue my mali emotional tzar, mali actual tzar, but it's not obvious to be Madame and Milsa La Milsa, so I don't know. Something to, I'd like to look into it, but I don't know offhand. So the Beis Yosef has a machlokas Rishonim here in Siftas. Is it mutter to kill this bug, Shelo Yeshchanu? The tour and the number of Rishonim Paskin, it's Aser. So trapping would be Mutter, but killing would be Aser. Rabbeinu Tam is Matir. Rabbeinu Tam's logic is very simple. Rabbeinu is Matam is Matir. Midi dehave mapis morsa. The kibui gachala shalo yezukuba. In other words, mapis morsas, pashtas enus richel gufan, or Matir for tsar. And same thing for kibui gachalas. So we should also be able to kill the bug. But many Rishonim are Machmir, and the Beis Yosef himself concludes that one should be Machmir. So the question is, what's the reason for the Machmirim? In other words, if we're willing to be Mati or other Isurim de Rabbanan, why wouldn't you be allowed to kill it? Killing it is in Sichel Gufa, and it's an Isur de Rabbanan. So why are we more Machmir? So we could say that there's something worse about killing. Tosfos, addressing something slightly different, this is Tosfos Kufchaf Aleph Amid Beis, right, that writes that we're more machmir by hariga. He writes, because it's mefarsim familsa tfeimi betzeda. What does that mean? I assume, I'm not sure exactly, somebody, when somebody sees you, I don't know, let's say you pick up the bug and throw it off your arm. So that is technically Seda, but it doesn't look so much like Seda. Whereas if you smush the bug, that is much more obviously a melacha, and therefore we're more machmir. You could have also answered that hariga is worse because it's enetzvich al gufa, whereas in the case of Seda, the truth is that it's a shvus de shvus. That's not such a pashut answer, because since the basis of our being matir tzeda is derived from mapis morsa, that's what Tosas learns it from. We learn that the tzeda in this case is mutter by mapis morsa. And mapis morsa bepashtus is mutter because it's in Sri Hulguf. That's true. As we talked about last time in the Rambam would have to have a different explanation why mapis morsa is mutter. But at least Lididan, that we paskin that in Sri Hulguf is pater. So pashtus, the reason why mapis morsa is mutter is in Sri Hulguf, in which case, killing is also in Sri Lagufa, so why should we be more machmir? But might be that's maybe we could say something a little different. We could say, look, if you could get away with doing something more kal, why should you do something more chamor? So trapping the parush is much more kal because it's not just in Sri Lagufa, it's also in Bemino Nitzod. So therefore, why, if you could do a shvus to shvus, which we know actually is mutter b'makom tzar, so then certainly why should you do a single shvus of killing? But again, that's a cheshbon that makes a lot of sense, but it's hard to be a good cheshbon to explain this din, because again, since the makor that the Rishonim as well as the Gra brings for the din of why it's mutter to trap the parush is Mapis Morsa, and that's a single Shavuos of Ein Sri Hulgufa, so why should this be different? So either way, even though it's hard to explain, we do Paskin L'chumra and the Shaila, it is Aser to kill. I thought of the Magen Avraham is actually saying something very interesting, and it's Magen Avraham Sifkat on Yates, which might, it brings us back to a different Magen Avraham we talked about a little earlier, so I'll just mention it, that's interesting. So Magen Avraham Yates is, again, says, why is Hariga Aser if trapping is mutter? Magen Avraham writes, the Hahorgo Chayev, that killing it is Chayev. It's a very strange Magen Avraham, because that's true for the Rambam, perhaps, that in Sri Chalguf is Chayev, but Mecha Tesi, to be so same like the Rambam, or that the Mechaber is being so same like the Rambam. And so the Shaar Tzion, Sifkat and Samach Aleph, tries to get out of this. He says, well, the Magen Avraham doesn't mean Chayev. He meant it's Ikaro min HaTorah. But I think that's Dochak in the Lashon of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham sounds like Chayev. So what's the Pshat in this Magen Avraham? And I thought it was especially shver in light of the Magen Avraham in Simon Shin Mem. If you remember, back in Shin Mem, we were discussing cutting nails and cutting hair, and the Magen Avraham, the Mechaber writes that if you're no tel tziporna v'sa'aro, you're chayev. And the nosei kelim are troubled because Tosos says that's only true if in tzrichel gufas chayev. And we paskin that in tzrichel gufas pater. So the Magen Avraham answered, that it must be that we're talking about a case where you need the hair. You're making a sheitel. So that's where cutting hair would taka b'chayev. Ad kan the Magen Avraham. And the Bir Halacha, if you remember, said this is very, very doichak. Why? Because, first of all, what are you going to say about nails? What does anyone have to do anything with nails? And moreover, it wouldn't explain what the Shulchan Aruch continues to say, that by white hairs, if you're taking out white hairs, you're chayev for just one hair. For brown hairs, you know, if you cut it, you need two hairs, that's the shear. But for white hairs, one. Now, if your goal is to make a white-haired sheitel, so there should be no difference in the shear between a white-haired sheitel and a brown-haired sheitel. They both would have the same shear. The fact that he's saying no, the shear for brown hair is two hairs and for white hair is one hair, shows clearly that the reason why you're pulling it out is because you don't want it here, right? Because you don't want to look old. So you're pulling out your white hair, and then there's something accomplished even by taking out a single hair. Whereas if a stam haircut, you need two hairs. Ad kan the Magen Avraham, and ad kan the kasha of the Bir Halacha on the Magen Avraham. And the Bir Halacha, if you remember, didn't like the Gra's approach either. The Gra said, oh, the Shulchan Aruch is learning like the Rambam. And the Bir Halacha himself tried to say, explain it based off of the Rivash, which was a nice pshat, though. That was a little difficult in the sense that the Beis Yosef over here didn't bring down the Rivash. Ad kan. So I think at the time, I learned the Magen Avraham the way the Mishnah Berurah learns the Magen Avraham. That the Magen Avraham was attempting to explain the Shulchan Aruch, and Taka, it's a shver explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. But in light of this Magen Avraham, I changed my mind. I actually think that the Magen Avraham there was not explaining the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham, like the Gra actually, understands that the Shulchan Aruch is at least sometimes so same like the Rambam. The Magen Avraham over there is saying, is not explaining the Shulchan Aruch. Like the Bir Halacha points out, it could be that he's explaining the Shulchan Aruch. That's not a plausible explanation in the Shulchan Aruch. The Magen Avraham is just telling you something. The Lashon of the Magen Avraham over there in Shin Mem was, Uleman de Amar, Melach Shen Shechel Gufa Pater, Mayri Shetzarach Lasa'aran. He's not explaining the Shulchan Aruch. He's just telling you, you want a matziv where you would be chayiv for giving a haircut, according to the Mandar Mayin Sikhlu Gufa Pater, you could say, we're talking about a case where you need the hair. He's not explaining the Shulchan Aruch, because like the Bir Halacha says, it's not a plausible explanation of the Shulchan Aruch. He's just telling you. But what's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? Like the Gra, that the Mechaber here was so sane, like the Rambam. So why did the Bir Halacha not want to learn like the Gra? So the Bir Halacha didn't like it because also in our Siman Shin Tes Zayin, Sif Tes, it doesn't sound that way in the Mechaber. But the answer is it's not true. Because the Mechaber over there, Sif Ches, the Mechaber over there brought down two deos in Sif Ches. He first brings down the opinion that says Ein Sichel Gufa Pater, and then he says, Ula Rambam Chayev. The Magen Avraham, I believe, like the Gra held, that the Mechaber brings down two deos in Sif Ches and is occasionally so same like the Rambam. So in Sif Tes, that's exactly what the Magen Avraham says. Magen Avraham says Sif Tes, the Shulchan Aruch is so same like the Rambam. In other words, why is it that it's mutter to trap the flea, but usher to kill the flea? Says the Magen Avraham, Hahor Go Chayev. Because according to the Rambam, there's an issur d'oraisa to kill the flea. Though trapping the flea would only be an issur d'rabbanan, because it's ein b'mino nitzot. So here we have the Magen Avraham in two different places, basically acknowledging that the Mechaber is so same like the Rambam. Does that mean that the Mechaber paskened like the Rambam? I'm not sure, because he does bring down two deos. It could be that the Mechaber was not machria, and therefore he relies on the fact that earlier he brought down two deos, but he's not machria definitively. But I think that's what the Magen Avraham is saying. We were troubled. Why is it that Hariga is aser if Tzeda is mutter? And the answer is, well, that distinction makes sense if you learn like the Rambam. Okay? There are other answers if you don't learn like the Rambam, potentially. We have Tosis's answer of Mefarsh Mamilsa. We have the Bir Halacha's answer of one being a Shvas Tishvas. But it could be that's the pshat in the Magen Avraham here, and also the Magen Avraham back in Shin Mem. So that would be an interesting point. There's something that I want to just be mayor, but there's not a time to go into. It's interesting, Machlokas Shem, about the Gader of the Heter over here for Tzeda. If you look at the Rush, and Tosa Rush, the Heter is, De'eno kemiskavim latzudu elak misasik shalishchenu. Sounds a little bit like, it's not just Enu Shichel Guf, it's misasik, like we said before. You're just trying to avoid getting bitten. And so even though you pick up the flea for a second and momentarily trap it, maybe it's misasik. According to Tosas, it's clear the Malach is Enu Shichel Gufa. Again, the Rush isn't mefurish, because it could be just trying to invoke the Lashon of the Gemara. Interesting discussion in the Rashba and the like about this point. Okay, so let's talk about what comes out from these bunch of Sifim at the towards the end of Shinta Zion. So in Sif Zion, we have the halacha of Nechashim Vakravim and Shar Ramasim Hamazikim. We'll have to define what those are. But when we're talking about snakes and scorpions and other Mazikim, so then, if it's shalo yishchenu, it's mutter latsudan. Here, we're matir, even when it's bemino nitzod, like for at least like the case, if you don't hold the Rambam, like in the case of the snake, we say over there, if it's refuah, you're chayev. But if it's shalo yazikenu, since we paskin, Ein Shichel Gufa is Pater, so it's Mutter to trap animals, even if they are yesh b'mino nitzav, because it's entzri chagufa. And it's dafka animals like nechashim v'akravim that neshichasan kasha me'od. So that's why they were matir in entzri chagufa. What about hariga of these animals? So that's discussed in Sif Yud. And the answer is it depends. If they're ratzin acharav, it's also mutter to kill them. Otherwise, it's only mutter ladarsam lefi tumao. And even though you're miskaving, we'll talk about the heter of lefi tumao in just a minute. And we said, why is it aser to kill them b'yadayim? So according to Rambam, because that would be an issur d'oraisa. And according to Tosfos, because it's mefarsim amilsa. Good. And Sif Tes, what we started off with today, we have the din of the parush. And there, it's only mutter to trap it momentarily when it's al besaro, the okza. We had machlokas, grandmug, and taz, how far that goes. Here, too, we say it's aser to kill, and we talked about why killing would be different. And fine. So let's talk about actual like bugs in the real world. So what about a mosquito? So a mosquito is definitely not like a nachash v'akrav. So you can't just stomp trap a mosquito. Mosquito is probably something like the parush. And therefore, if it's on your skin, and then you would be able to pick it up and remove it, like we say in Sif Tes. If it's almost on your skin, so then we have the machlokas, the taz, and the gra, whether it's mutter. Lamaisa happens to be that even though it is mutter, if it's on your skin, the mosquito is on your skin, because once it's on your skin, it's not going to bite you. That's, the mosquitoes don't just hang around on your skin. So you would technically be able to lechora pick it up and throw it away. Practically, there's no reason to do it. A mosquito will go away if you just swat it off. There's no reason, I think, in the case of a mosquito, to actually bother trapping it. But in theory, if that's what was needed, it would be mutter. But again, if it's stomp flying around the room, there'd be no heter to trap a mosquito. That's Sif Zion. So what about a bee? The shiloh comes up. A bee flies into your house or into the sukkah or the like. Is it mutter? So our shiloh really is whether a bee is like a parush, in which case it would be aser to trap it unless it's like on your arm, or is a bee like nechashim v'akravim, which are mutter to trap? Now, first of all, we have to figure out, is it mino nitzot or not? We already saw it was a machlokas, harishonim perhaps, and certainly achronim, whether bees are mino nitzot or not. Happens to be that typically the bees that come into our house and our sukkah are not honeybees, which we said it would be a debate, but they're actually yellow jackets, which are types of wasps, more like the tzira, which is discussed. And therefore, yellow jackets are for sure ein b'mino nitzot. They're not honeybees. I don't think anyone wants them. So, but we still have the shiloh. So how do you deal with this yellow jacket? Do you deal with the yellow jacket like a nachash d'akrav, in which case you could preemptively trap it? Or, you know, let's say it's walking on your table. You're in your sukkah, the bee is walking on the table. Can you quickly flip a cup onto it? Or it's inside your cup. Could you put a plate on top and trap the bee? So if the bee is like nachash v'akrav, then that would be mutter. If the bee is like a parush, that would be aser. Which one is it? It's hard to know because l'chora it's less than a nachash v'akrav, and it's more than a parush. So the Alter Rebbe, and this is cited in Dirshu note 64, says that a tzira, a wasp, is like a parush. And he said, and that's the mashmos, I think, probably, of the Bir Halach and Sif Ches. Because the Bir Halach and Sif Ches says, it's only mutter, dumya de nechashem v'akravim shenishichasan kasha me'od. I don't think a typical yellow jacket bee sting is kasha me'od. I mean, it hurts for 5 minutes. It's not like akrav. I mean, I've never been bitten by an akrav, but I would gather that it's a lot worse, and that's what they. So that's the mashmas of the Bialach as well. Now, again, if obviously if there's someone if there's someone who's allergic to bees, then it's pashut it would be mutter. Then it might even be a sakana, even if there's a baby around, let's say. So with respect to a baby, then I think then it is kasha mode. But if it's just a bunch of adults in a room, so not as clear. As I said, the Alter Rebbe is machmir, and a number of contemporary works quote that Alter Rebbe, like the Orcho Shabbos, Perk Yudalit, Sif Chaf Beis, tend to be machmir. Shir Shavsky Ochasa also tends to be machmir, except when there's a little baby around, then he's mako. On the other hand, other contemporary poskim, I think Rabbi Ribiat or Simcha Ben Amkon, are both lenient. And I think that you could argue that we could throw in sometimes at least the Sarah that Moshe said before, which is, you know, I know in my family, if there's a bee around, everybody gets hysterical. Now, it's not necessarily so logical. I had one kid who really got hysterical about a bee and then actually got stung. And I said, oh, that's not as bad as I thought. But the point is that beyond the technical pain, people oftentimes are very hysterical, very worried, very emotionally distressed. So maybe there's room for a Darabanan, especially because, as I said, if we're not dealing with a honeybee, we're dealing with a yellow jacket. So then the truth of the matter is it's a shvus to shvus. It's aim shvichel gufa plus aim b'mino nitzod. And there, in that case, to be makel b'makom tzar is there's ample grounds for leniency. So I think in the typical case, there is room. Certainly if people are very upset about this yellow jacket, to trap it. There's an interesting shaila you could ask. Well, let's say it's in your sukkah. So everybody's hysterical. So maybe you're mitzar, maybe you're potter from the sukkah. So is it better to trap it and stay in the sukkah or leave the sukkah because you're potter? You know, maybe is it hutra or dechuya? If it's hutra, so I would say, so then good. So you may as well trap it and stay in your sukkah. But if it's only dechuya, and right now you're in a matziv where you're potter from your sukkah because Teishu Kentaduru, you know, you'd leave your house if there was a bee flying around your house. Again, I'm talking about the hysterical children. So maybe you'd also be potter from the sukkah. So then if it's dechuya, not so pashat. Maybe in light of what we said, there's still room for leniency to trap it, especially because it's not so clear you're potter from the sukkah. Something to think about. Now, this relates a little bit. There's an additional tzad to be makel if you're not actually actively trapping this yellow jacket, but you're putting out one of those bee traps, right? A lot of times people have these bee traps on sukkahs especially. Are you allowed to use a bee trap, lay a bee trap? So here, there's more room for makel, to be makel. Yoni pointed out, oh, you switched your name back. So Yoni pointed out that Rabbi Akiva Eiger thinks that since, according to Tosfos, using a trap where there's not going to be an immediate trapping is only a din derabanan. So then, and if we're talking about ein b'mino nitzod, and there's a real need, so then you could be makel. So laying a bee trap, let's say in the sukkah or outside of the sukkah, there's ample grounds to be makel. And that relates to the question that Moshe said before, you'll have to lay a mouse trap on Shabbos. So pashtus, a mouse trap, I'm not talking that, let's say a glue trap. So l'chayra, pashtus, again, the Chazon Ish notwithstanding, that is an only an Issur D'Rabbanan. That's a simple reading of Tosos, and we mentioned Tosos is quoted by the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah. As Yoni also pointed out, the Tosa Rush sounds more like the Mishnah Berurah's understanding of the Tosos, not the Chazon Ish's understanding of the Tosos. So that being the case, maybe it would be mutter if someone's very distressed about a mouse to lay a mouse trap on Shabbos, because it is a shvus to shvus. The question is, are mice b'minan nitzod? Now, the reason why it's not so pasha to be makel is because the Shulchan Aruch basically says that a mouse, which is among the Shmona Shratzim, is davar shebimino nitzod. The question is that nowadays, probably that shouldn't be true anymore. In other words, nobody's trapping mice. I don't know why they trap mice. It sounds like they trap mice for their fur. I don't know. Maybe they used to make fur coats out of mice. I don't know exactly what they might have done. But nobody's trapping mice anymore, except for scientists. Scientists, I don't know. Maybe, you know, they don't use traps. They breed them in captivity, really. Though I guess it's not that poshut, because in captivity, sometimes you still have to trap him. In other words, they're running around. So it could be that, is that chad shechia, trei shechia, when they're running around in a cage and you have to get them. So some of the poskim are hesitant to be makel in the case of a mouse, because the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch says it's bemino nitzot, and it's not poshut that it's not bemino nitzot anymore, especially because, you know, they are sometimes used. But in the case of the bee trap, certainly there's more room to be lenient. When it comes to harmless insects, like an ant or something like that, there's obviously never any hatter to trap them at all, though the post can permit using insect repellent or the like. Fine. I don't have time to go into it now, but since it's almost Yantif, there's an interesting discussion in the poskim whether maybe Yantif killing the bugs is more of a tzad lahakel. And the reason why Yantif might be different is because maybe we should say mitoch, since you're allowed to do the malacha of killing for ochel nefesh. So it should be mutter shalol tzarech ochel nefesh, letzarech Yantif. There, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses in the tshuva, Mincha Shlomo Tanyana, Simen Samech Os Chafches. He has an interesting discussion, as do other poskim. I want to turn to Hargon Lefitumo, which is based off the Gemara in Kufchaf Aleph Amid Beis. The Gemara there says that if you have like animals that are biting, and so then that are very dangerous, like Zvuv Shebi Mitzrayim and Tzira Shebi Ninveh and the like, so then, obviously, you could kill them on Shabbos as soon as you see them. Other mizikim, so it depends. If they're running after you, you could kill them. If not, they're just sitting where they are, it's aser to go actively kill them. However, if you're dorsan lefitumo, then it's mutter. So what exactly is the setter of lefitumo? So Rashi writes that Leilech kirtzono, ve'en tzach lishamet mimenu, shavi kedav shem miskavein. That's normally aser, according to Rabbi Yehuda, le'inyan mazik and lo gazru. So according to Rashi, this kula, first of all, it's only a kula necessary for Rabbi Yehuda. It means that you're just walking along your path. That's what lefitumo means. And you would have thought that you have to sort of divert your direction so as to make sure not to step on them. No, just go the way you are. And if you happen to step on it and smush it, you happen to step on it and smush it. So according to Rashi, actually, this heter has no relevance to us because it's only within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion anyway. However, all the other Rishonim don't learn this way, more or less. Well, we'll see about the Rambam in a moment. But most Rishonim object to Rashi. And they say that the Gemara really didn't sound like Rashi. In fact, the Gemara says, Tzirani Horeg. It sounds like the Gemara is permitting Lefitumo even when you're miskaven to kill it. So therefore, other Rishonim say, no, we're talking about a case where you're attacking miskaven to kill it. But, you know, call Hecha De'ashel Shanos Mishaninan, or according to Tosus, it's actually very meduya. Because remember, I mentioned to you before, Tosus asks, why is it that Tzeda is more kal than killing, right? The Maisa, since it's mutter to do Tzeda, it should be mutter to kill. They're both in a Shichel Guf of Makom Tzar. So says the Tosfos, well, killing it is Mefars Mamilsa. So if it's Lefitumo, then it's not so Meforsam, because it doesn't look like you're killing. It just looks like you're walking. Taka, your intention is to smush this Akrav, right? You're taka only walking across the room to smush the Akrav, but you're doing it lefitumo. You're pretending to walk across the room to get a bug. I mean, to get a book. You're walking across the room to get a book, and whoops, along the way you happen to smush the Akrav. Your real intention is to kill the Akrav, but it's going to be okay because it's not mefarsimat milsa. So that is the pshat of Rov Rishonim. Now, the question is... That's what Lefi Tumah means. Lefi Tumah means it doesn't look like you're misgavin to kill it, even though you are misgavin to kill it. Now, the problem is that the Rambam paskins this halacha of killing it Lefi Tumah, v'mdarsim Lefi Tumah b'shas hilucho b'hargan mutter. Now, if you're doing it b'miskavin, it should be also according to the Rambam, because if you're doing it b'miskavin, it's in melach shen shvichel gufa, and it would be nisr deraisa. So if Rambam learned like Rashi, that we're talking about Darshan Miskavein, then there's no kash in the Rambam. But the Rambam doesn't, well, it's unclear. One way to be miyash of the Rambam is to say that the Rambam must be learning like Rashi. But the Magen Mishnah is Medayik, that the Rambam doesn't really sound like Rashi. So al karchacha, you have to say there's sakanas nefashos. And that's what the Lecha Mishnah writes. Lecha Mishnah writes, the Hacha Mishnah Kuach nefesh etiru doma d'liyal. The Lashon Rambam doesn't sound that way either, though. It doesn't sound like there's pikuach nefesh. If there was pikuach nefesh, first of all, why would you need even lefi tumo? The Radvaz deals with this extensively in Tshuva, Chelakei, Simen Kuf Mem Tes. And he goes back and forth on this question. And Toch HaDvarim, he suggests something sort of interesting. It seems like he's saying that there's no sakana if they're not chasing after you. And therefore, here there's no sakana because you could just go in a different direction. You could leave the room. But when you're about to step on them, you are bisakana. Because at that point, right, you're walking towards them. You're about to step on them. Now they're gonna sting you if you don't smush them. So bishas maisa taka, it is pikuach nefesh, and therefore it's mutter to do. And therefore, so what's interesting is because you want to get rid of the akrav from your house, you're allowed to sort of put yourself into a situation where it would be pikuach nefesh and then kill it. Sort of like the sugya of Babi Machteres, according to some Rishonim, where theoretically you could have retreated. But since you're allowed to stand your ground, then you're in a matzav of pikuach nefesh, and at that point, you're allowed to kill the guy to save your life. So that's the way the Radvaz.
It's just like the Balamor and the Ramban by Yishtap Chamim, you know?
Yes, it's a related type of topic. Correct. Now, I don't think the Radvaz would necessarily say you could always do this, but the point is, in this case where you have this mazik in your house, that's not a dangerous mazik, but certainly a mazik, so you're allowed to create that situation. That's what it sounds like he's saying, which is, again, a very interesting idea. The Merkevus HaMishnah gives a different approach. He says that Taka, we are talking about Davar She'eino Miskaven. Why? A little different than Rashi, because they might not die. And that's why Rambam's Lashon is the Hargan. In other words, not that you intended to kill them, they just happened to die. It's interesting, why then do you need Lefi Tumo? So the Markev's Mishnah answers, there would be a Gzeira Shema Yiskavin Lahargan. That's why you need Lefitumo. Lefitumo, the way he understands it, really means without Kavana to kill them. That's what Lefitumo means. Darsan Lefitumo means you could smush them without Kavana to kill them. You might injure them, but you're not Miskavin to kill them. Okay. There's so much more to do in our simon. Just mention one last point. Magen Avraham Shin Tazayin Sifkat and Chaf Gimel writes like this. Afilu b'miskavein, right? Same topic. So the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed, not like Rashi, you're allowed to step on them lefi tumo with intention to kill. Afilu l'Rambam Shari, quotes the Magen Mishnah, v'tzarch tam l'davar. Why is it mutter according to the Rambam to kill them? V'nirali, Dafka b'nachash v'akrav, shal pi harov heim mimisim. We're dafka talking about a case of nachash v'akrav, that taka most of the time these are deadly animals. V'lachain afim alkom shein mimisim, even though you're in a place where they're not going to kill, motel adarth mufitumo, mipnech shash sakanas nefashos. Right? Avaldarash ein mimis liolam, and pshita, that it's going to be aser according to the Rambam. And therefore, Osan anashim shahargim hashmamit. the spider, people, there were people that used to kill spiders on Shabbos. Nearly, Disagamaru, Da Eina Mazakas, come on, spiders. After Yishlocha Sheep Alatocha Maichol, but there is a concern, because apparently if a spider falls into your soup, then it's dangerous. Mikol Makom, Nosa Veloshchichahu, come on. What are the odds that your spider is going to end up in your food? And anyway, you could, so if you're worried about a spider going into your pot, so cover your pot. And even then, only one in 1,000 is dangerous in food. So you should protest those people that kill a spider on Shabbos. In other words, even though they're killing the spider, so it doesn't get in their food, but still, even if it does get in their food, only one in 1,000 is a problem. So we have a lot of chidushim in this Magen Avraham. First of all, at the beginning, it's sort of interesting what he says. What exactly does he mean when he says, al pi rov, they're mamis? In other words, if it's mamis al pi rov, then why do you need lefitumo? If you look at the mechtz shekel, he says, even mechtz al mechtz is mutter. Again, what do you mean mechtz al mechtz? We're mechal Shabbos for miyot. So, maybe it means because right now by the spider, there's no sakana, which is choshish about the future. Could be. It's there's a famous mahalich of the Binyan Tzion who says, he asks the stira, why is it that on the one hand we say by chshash pikuach nefesh, we are allowed to be mechal Shabbos. On the other hand, we allow people to engage in dangerous professions like being sailors or climbing, picking fruit from a tree. And the answer is, it depends. If it's is it a current danger, then even a muted muta we're worried about. If it's a future danger, then we follow Rov. Maybe that's what the Machzor Shekel means. I think maybe it means something a little different. He says, b'makom shein memisin muta l'darth mipdech shash sakanas vashos shash rachok. In other words, it doesn't mean, not sure. Anyway, the Magen Avraham writes that what's very interesting is over here, it sounds like he's saying that when it's Echad Minei Aleph, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos. That's what the Magen Avraham says. So you can't kill the spider because the spider being dangerous is Echad Minei Aleph. Okay, so that's fine. Actually, it's not fine. Because elsewhere in Hilchos Shabbos, we find that Echad Minei Aleph, it's mutter to be Mechal Shabbos. And Magen Avraham himself paskins this way. It's quoted in Magen Avraham, Simin Shin Lamed, Sifkat and Gimel. He's quoted in the Magen Mishnah, Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel. Magen Mishnah says something very interesting. The Rambam writes that generally speaking, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for Pikuach Nefesh without doing a Shinoi. In other words, you could just do it in your normal way. We could call that hutra if we want for the time being, that you don't have to make a shinoi, even if you could make a shinoi, with one exception, and that is childbirth. Childbirth, it's mevorna gemara, that if you could be mishana, you have to be mishana. That's the gemara we saw it by Shita B'Seyar. The gemara says that you should try to figure out a way to avoid doing malacha if you're able to. So the Rambam Taka says that when it comes to childbirth, if you could do it in a shinoi, if you could do it in a derabanan way, so then you should. And if not, so then you do what you need to do, because it is pikuach nefesh. So the Magen Mishnah asks, what's the difference? Why is it that by all other pikuach nefesh, you don't need to be mishana, you don't have to be memayit, and by childbirth you have to be memayit? So the Magen Avraham answers that, well, dying in childbirth is echad minei aleph. Okay, 1 in 1,000 people die in childbirth. Now, that's stam is a strange thing to say. I mean, in the olden days, l'chora, death by mother in childbirth was pretty common. 1 in 1,000, that's very safe. He means something a little different, that it's like normal. It's not like a sickness. Part of life is is giving birth to a child, and therefore it's not a regular pikuach nafesh in make a shinoi, but the simple understanding of the Magen Avraham and that Magen Mishnah is that echad minei elef, you're allowed to be machal Shabbos. Okay, maybe you should be memait, but lemaisa, the Magen Avraham, the Magen Mishnah, says that echad minei elef, you're allowed to be machal Shabbos, you just have to be mishana if you can. So now we have a stira. What's our stira? In Shin Tes Zayin, the Magen Avraham says that echad minei elef is not considered pikuach nafesh, and in Shin Lamed, he says that it is. So we have a stira in the Magen Avraham. So there are different answers to this question. We don't have time to go into all of them now. Rav Sternbach has a different, interesting approach. Chumas on Hagel's Chela K, Simen Shin Tzadi Tes. And there it's an interesting tshuva, because anyway he talks about this question of how do you determine what's considered pikuach nefesh, and he talks about is it taloi in das b'nei adam. Generally speaking, many poskim say that if people consider this a pikuach nefesh or safik pikuach nefesh, then it is, and he discusses that. But anyway, toch advarim, he gives the following resolution to the stira in the Magen Avraham. His answer is that it depends if it's an immediate danger or a future danger. In the case of this possibility of the spider falling into your food, that's a future danger. And therefore, Echad Minei Elef is considered not pikuach nefesh. But in the case of the childbirth, you know, she's in labor, it's not a future danger, it's a current danger, and therefore he argues that Echad Minei Elef is considered sakanas nefashos, and you are allowed to be machal Shabbos. That's the yishuv that he has in the Magen Avraham. Other achronim give different answers. It's similar to the answer that Rav Yaakov Etlinger did, which we mentioned. Okay, another interesting sugya that comes up in our sugya, which we're not going to talk about now, is the sugya Shnayim Shesu'ah, comes up on Daf Kuf Vav on the base. One of the things that the post can talk about is why we have this p'tur Shnayim Shesu'ah in two different places, and same p'tur, same machlokas in two different mishnayos. But and there's a lot to say on that that might relate to us, but we're going to leave it for now. Another thing we're not going to talk about is Tzedas Anashim. Take a look, though, at Simen Shinla Mites Sif Dalid, where the Rama writes that there's a problem if you have a criminal to trap them, is in Indian possibly of the Isser of Dinim, but there isn't an Isser of Tzedon people, it would seem. Why not? Why is that? There, Shlomo Zalman talks about it. There's an Avnei Nezer on this, and Simen Kuf Pei Tes. He basically, he has an interesting theory on it. And as I said, take a look at Shemir Shabbos Kolchas, who also discusses it in chapter 27, footnote 112. He writes that because human beings like to be around other people. Anyway, Ayin Sham. More to say, but we're out of time. So I want to wish you all a Chag Kasher Sameach, and Be'ezras Hashem, we'll pick up with the new Malach after Yom Tov.
Chag Kasher Sameach. Thank you, Rebbe.
Gayach, Katyantef, Katyantef.